Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shark. Welcome to the Movies, Films, and Flicks podcast. I'm your host, John Lasswood. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Mark Hoffmeyer.
Vin Diesel is a creeper.
Is he?
Yeah.
Why do you say that, Mark?
Well, I was watching Triple X. I think it's Return of Xander Cage, not The Return of Xander Cage.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'm like all on board with him, you know, skiing down mountains or riding on a bike under the water, or I'm all for people getting gut shotted. Then 5 minutes later, they're like, I'm cool. Oh, however, yeah. There's like this scene in the movie where he's talking to this hacker and she's like, you know, I don't, you know, we have a working relationship, but my eight friends want to hook up with you. And then Vin hooks up with like eight women. And he's all like, during the movie, he's always like creepily like hitting on ladies. It just made me feel gross. I felt bad for him.
What if like, that's how he acts in real life?
Oh gosh!
And he didn't know the cameras were rolling.
It's just like so much ego. Like it's just, and then he's like, I'm all working for my country. Is that what he says?
I don't know.
I understand about 70% of his dialogue.
I feel like that's one of the perks of being the star of a movie, though. Like,
yeah,
It's not exclusive to action movies. Like Woody Allen always hooks up with like a. the adorable lady. Let's see.
Braff found a readily available Natalie Portman who listens to the Shins and saves his life.
Yeah, because girls like that are just always hanging around waiting for a boyfriend. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
For a really mopey.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, person who doesn't really offer much aside from, like, you know, I think The Graduate wrecked it for a lot of people.
Really?
Well, like, because, you know, Dustin Hoffman in there, he was, like, so many people wanted to be that character.
Yeah. Yeah. But then again, a lot of people aren't Dustin Hoffman. So.
That's true. I mean, I love Hoffman, and I'm not saying nothing against him, but everyone tried to mimic that style.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't graduate.
Nope. Hey-o.
I mean, it's got to be ego, though. Like, it's just, I was watching it, like, when he was skiing down a mountain, I'm like, sure. Mm-hmm. But like when he had those scenes where he's like, hey, ladies, I'm like, ew, get away from them.
Maybe he was trying to have his James Bond moment.
Yeah, but like it's not earned, though. It just sort of happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it just seems exhausting.
I have to see this movie now. you sold me on it. It's like, I mean, well, like, if Diesel acts like a creeper, I'm like, well, I'm there.
He's doing the Lonely Island creep, like, straight up.
Right. Yeah. So, was that a no on Triple X 3?
Or it's a HBO.
HBO?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Or Redbox.
Right.
I mean, like, it would have been a lot better if he wasn't in it. Because it had, like, Donnie Yen, right? Nina Dobrev. Actually being cheeky, Michael Bisping, UFC middleweight champ, Tony Jaa, you know, action legend, Samuel L. Jackson, Ice Cube. The cast, I really liked the cast. Oh, the Hound from Game of Thrones. Hmm. Like, if it would have been just them on a mission.
So basically, you just want like Triple X 2.
Yeah. What's up?
You just want Triple X 2.
Yeah, exactly. Give me, like, so let's make Triple X 4. Okay. And just have them.
Oh, okay. So Vin Diesel only shows up in the odd number, Triple X.
Yeah, well, you know what? I guess. Oh, no. No, he's in it. Because he wasn't in Too Fast, Too Furious. That was the second one.
Oh, yeah.
And then he popped back in for Tokyo Drift. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's going to be in the. If there's a fourth. There won't be a fourth one, though.
Are you sure about that?
I mean. They're talking about maybe making another Last Witch Hunter. I think Universal is just kind of like, hey, man, you do the Fast movies for as long as you want, and you can do whatever movies. Last Witch Hunter, awesome. Triple X, sure. Jelly Babies, absolutely. I don't know what Jelly Babies is.
It doesn't sound too pleasant, actually.
Sounds like a Vin Diesel was in like a 1950s band.
Sure.
Called the Jelly Babies.
Well, I think when we start talking about Jelly Babies, it's time to start the podcast like we usually do. With listener questions. Yeah. Mark, I think you got the questions for us.
Yeah, so this one comes from Shannon, and she listened to our podcast last week about the best movies of 2016 that we didn't watch. Mm-hmm. So she asked, like, what are the best movies you've never watched?
Ooh, man. I thought picking out the 2016 list was tough.
Yeah.
Of all time?
There's thousands and thousands. Like, all right, so John.
Yeah.
Someone comes up to you, right? And they're like, What movies do you feel weird saying you haven't watched?
I haven't watched. Well, okay. I think my mind immediately kind of goes to like all the classics, you know, like it's just kind of like from like the 40s, the 50s, you know, even like the 60s. I'm just like, you know, that's like a period of film like I just haven't gone to yet, you know, as a kid who just kind of was born like in the 80s and grew up in the 90s. Like, that's where the majority of my film watching career is taking place. Like, watching like a lot of 80s, 90s movies, and then, you know, films going onward. So it's like, it's hard to go back every now and then to watch like the older movies because it's like, well, I gotta watch the movies from my generation, you know? So I basically just movies from like, you know, that era, I would say, that are considered classics.
Like, I haven't gotten to, I saw City Lights, but I haven't gotten to Lawrence of Arabia yet, The Gold Rush.
Sure.
I haven't seen Glengarry Glen Ross.
That's from the 80s. That's an 80s flick.
Yeah, I know. I know a lot of people love it. It's just, but I think for me, like, Eraserhead. I don't know why I haven't watched Eraserhead yet by David Lynch. Like, I've read his book. Mm-hmm. Like, I've watched all his other movies, but I just haven't watched Eraserhead.
You know what? I haven't seen any either, actually.
I've read a lot about it.
Lynch is not an easy thing to partake in, you know? So it's just like, I feel like you have to set aside time to like to watch like a David Lynch movie. Like, all right, I have to get ready.
And then eat ice cream for an hour afterwards.
I was like, oh, man, why did I do that?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I did a podcast about the 1950s movie draft, so that like led me down just watching a ton of old films. But there's still like a lot of there's still some Kurosawa films I haven't watched. There's Truffaut, like,
yeah, sure. I don't know, man. Also, the classic foreign films, like that's also like a tough area. I'm just like, oh, man.
Like, certain classic movies, dude, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
I watched the 400 Blows like 6 months ago. Loved it.
Yeah, I think I saw that in like one of those random like classes you have in college. Like, yeah, it was I signed up for like French film or something. You watch like a French movie every week and you just write an essay. It was awesome. That was one of the movies. But no, I think for me, the greatest movie that I haven't seen yet is The French Connection. I know. I just
oh, dude.
I know.
You gotta watch it over the break. Holy crap.
You know, I've always heard about it. I've always heard like great descriptions about it. And you know, I'm a huge like Gene Hackman fan. So you think French Connection would be like a movie I would just have seen like a million times already, but I'm just like, as I said before, like I just haven't gotten around to it yet, you know?
There's some great walking in The French Connection.
Is there?
Yeah. Gene Hackman's walking is on point.
So it's like a walk and talk type of scene? Or it's like
It's like him. He does a lot of, you know, he has to hit the pavement and he's doing a lot of tailing of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's good walking.
Right.
He walks like a linebacker.
Yeah. I think, so The French Connection is my kind of biggest shame at the moment. I think maybe the second biggest one is The Hustler.
I haven't watched that either.
Yeah, with Paul Newman.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of Paul Newman films I haven't seen, and that kind of makes me sad. I'm like, because I've seen a couple Paul Newman films here and there, like not when he was older, but like when he was like kind of in his prime. Like Paul Newman's like a really great actor. Like I feel like I need to watch like more of his movies. You know?
No, yeah, you're right. No, and then leading into like towards like the late 60s, 70s, a lot of the Paul Newman, Robert Redford, Hoffman movies. I mean, what's like Midnight Cowboy? I haven't watched, or I didn't. One where Marathon Man.
Yeah.
It's like, I've watched like 40s, 50s, but for some reason the 70s isn't real strong for me.
Yeah,
horror movies. It is.
I feel like you really do need to set a time, like set aside time to go back and watch all these older movies because it's like I said, like you're always trying to catch up with current movies coming out, and it's just like. Mm-hmm. And when you're not trying to catch up and you just want to watch movies to just kind of relax, you always kind of, you know, gravitate back to the movies you watched when you were a kid. And for me, it's like the movies from like the 80s and the 90s. And just like, so it's just kind of, I feel like I do have to intentionally set aside time to watch all these older movies. And I really don't do that much these days.
You know what I regret the most is I watched House Party. I watched House Party 3, but I never watched House Party 2.
Oh, man. So you missed, like, the connection.
Yeah, like, House Party 3 was, like, a total mystery to me. I just didn't, you know, I didn't know what was going on.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, you could argue that you still would have felt the same way, even if you did watch House Party
3. There's only so much time, and there's so many movies being made.
I know, like.
Maximum Overdrive.
Maximum. yeah.
I haven't watched, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You've never seen it?
No.
Really? You never gone to like one of those midnight showings somewhere?
I've never gone to midnight showings for any movies.
Really?
Yeah. I went to movies at midnight back in the day, but I'd always fall asleep. But I've never done like one of those where everyone gets dressed up and throws stuff at the screen midnight features.
It's at least the Rocky Horror Picture Show goes. It's okay.
I watched Perks of Being a Wallflower, and they reenact it for a little bit. So I feel like I've seen like a third of it.
Sure. Okay. I think, you know what? That was a really good question. I feel like we could have made like a whole podcast about it, but at the same time, I kind of don't. It's like... I don't know, like, you're just talking about your shortcomings, and, like, since we're on a movie podcast, we're supposed to be, like, huge film buffs, so it's, like, really awkward. I'm just like, well, these are all the best movies I haven't seen. I'm just like, oh, man.
And all these people sitting there at home going,
I know.
Like, when you said French Connection, some guy just punched somebody in the face. Like
he's never seen...
He was probably listening to our podcast running, heard it, saw the first person around, and just whomped him.
It's like, are you telling me you've seen a lobster, but you haven't seen the French Connection? I'm like, well, yeah.
That's right.
What do you want from me?
Wait, the lobster's awesome.
It is. I mean, it's okay.
I love that movie.
I thought the first half was good.
So. It's like the most bleak, funny thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely agree with you on that. Okay, so I think that's the answer to that question. The lobster was very bleak and very funny.
That's right. And back lotion.
All right, thank you for that wonderful listener question. Time to move on to the topic of the day. Mark, I think that's you.
You know, I was just thinking about this. Last week we talked about 2016 movies we haven't watched. Now we just talked about classics we haven't watched. Now we're going to be talking about a bunch of movies we haven't watched because they're not out yet.
We are on a streak.
We're just not watching anything.
Nope.
For me, the topic today is 2017 movies. This is our 2017 big bonanza blockbuster ballyhoo schnitzel 2017 premiere preview.
Palooza.
Polka.
Yeah.
Oktoberfest. Flicktoberfest.
There you go.
That's right. So... You know, I was looking through a lot of these movies, Lazavath, and, like, of course, there's the big honkers. You got all DC, you got Marvel, you have Pixar, you have all your animated films. I mean, this is going to be, I think this is going to be one of the biggest years ever for cinema, the new Star Wars.
Really?
Like, there's, I think there's probably $6 or $7 billion movies here, at least.
Yeah, I think Marvel, or really essentially Disney here, they have a pretty impressive slate of movies coming out. And we're talking like big, big, big franchises here.
Yeah, like Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi.
They have Spider-Man coming out.
It's going to be a big one.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Thor Ragnarok.
And, if you watched a couple of the Marvelous films this year, you'll notice that there's some car parking that I did and car driving in some of the Marvelous films this year.
Nice, nice. Did you do any car parking in Beauty and the Beast that's coming out?
Yeah, I did. I had carriage parking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they were like, hey, Mark, we got 600 carriages.
Right.
Get horses on them, drivers, send them.
But, yeah, so 2017 is going to be big, and it's just going to be... just gonna be a big impact by Disney, which I think is crazy, but you know, it can't just all be Disney slash Marvel, right, Mark?
No, it can't. And so I scoured the 2017 films. I went hundreds deep on IMDb, and I kind of found some movies that you might be interested in, keep an eye out for amidst all the massive movies. So,
because yeah, that's how 2016 went, like. It was the little movies that came out huge or had the biggest impact.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 2016 is not going to be remembered for their blockbusters. There's going to be a lot of smaller movies that live on.
Sure.
I don't want to say anything bad about La La Land because I might get arrested.
Shout out to Aziz on SNL.
Yes, and then I still love that line of what they said about Moonlight. Oh, I loved Moonlight. And they're like, yeah, we loved it. Very important movie. Like, did you watch it? And they're like, no.
I didn't watch it.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I just have everyone says how important it is and they love it, but they haven't watched it.
I want to watch it.
Dude, Moonlight is not the movie everyone thinks it is. It's not a whole thing. It's a great, like, that in Manchester by the Sea. Like, a lot of people think Manchester by the Sea is something else, too. Like, both those movies are just so smart, and they deal with everything so beautifully. Like, a lot of people are just thinking Manchester by the Sea is like Oscar bait. But the director's only made 3 films, and he makes 1 movie every 6 years. Like, I don't think he goes out making these Oscar films.
No, no.
So, yeah. But, no, for me, so I'm going to do some little ones here, and they're going to be random. But the one I'm really excited for is called Colossal.
Oh,
and it
stars
Anne Hathaway, and there's this giant monster. It attacks Seoul, and it's attacking like, you know, a lot of the Eastern, you know, there's China, Korea, Japan. This monster is just laying havoc to all, you know, all of Asia. And Anne Hathaway finds out that she kind of like can control it. So there's this massive monster, and she sees it on TV, and she starts dancing, and then this monster starts dancing. So, like, she's all the way, you know, in America hanging out with Jason Sudeikis, and she's just like, she looks like kind of a loner, and she's controlling this monster that's stomping the hell out of Asia.
So, I haven't seen a trailer for it yet. I don't know if there is a trailer. I mean, I read the kind of the plot synopsis of it, and it's just like, is this movie supposed to be a comedy or like some type of weird
dramedy?
A dramedy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just I want to see this just for the pure novelty of like the concept here. Like Anne Hathaway controls a movie monster; it's tearing up Asia. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I just like that idea. I wish I could. If I had a time machine, I wish I could go back to the nucleus of this idea. Because I don't know, and it's funny. She's like dancing. And Jason Sudeikis is watching the monster dancing, and then like he looks up, and Anne Hathaway's doing the same dance. I mean, like, if you could turn into a monster, Laz, and you could control it, what would you do? Like, you couldn't have it do your bidding or anything.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like destroying cities would be kind of cliche.
Yeah, it is.
I just maybe I would just go swimming in the Pacific. I don't know. That sounds kind of boring, but I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what I would do to me. Maybe try to wrestle a hurricane.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like, what could you destroy that isn't, like, cliched now?
I'd be mean, maybe
I would go up picking up the damage from other monsters.
Oh yeah, it's like sorry. He doesn't know he doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah.
Sorry about him.
Doesn't know his own strength.
Yeah. Just you're bending the Eiffel Tower back.
Yeah, it's good as new. It's good as new. Yeah. He just back away.
Yeah, I like the idea of swimming. I would try to ride a tornado.
There you go.
You know, I would smush poachers. I might, you know.
So, yeah, this is like a mashup between like a monster slash horror movie and dramedy?
Yeah.
Wow, there's like so many different genres packed into one.
There's a lot of layers.
There you go. Yeah.
They should call it Layers.
Layers.
Okay. Hipster.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to see it.
All right, what do you got? What do you want to watch?
Okay, so this one's, it's got a little controversy behind it, but I'm excited because,
can I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
Blade Runner?
No.
Crap.
It's another sci-fi movie. It's Ghost in the Shell with Scarlett Johansson.
Ooh.
There's a controversy because, you know, there's a lot of criticism that the movie's whitewashing the original material. Because, like, the original Ghost in the Shell movie, for those of you who don't know, was an anime movie. It's one of the, it's considered like an anime classic. And the, you know, the main character was not white. She was like a Japanese cyborg woman or whatever. And I'm just like, you know. Whatever. I'm just excited to see a live-action Ghost in the Shell. For those of you who have never seen the original movie, it's a very... it's not like a Dragon Ball Z type of anime where everything's like super ridiculous. It's a very thoughtful and realistic take on a future where humans have been augmented with like cybernetic implants. It's a very deep and heavy movie, so I'm interested to see if the live-action movie kind of lives up to that. Or is it just going to be, like, just a regular run-of-the-mill action movie, which would be super disappointing.
Like another Lucy-type kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I kind of think it's going to happen, even though I don't want it to happen. I just, I'm a big fan of the original movie and kind of TV series that followed. So I'm going to watch it with reservations.
Yeah. Oh, you gonna get reservations?
Oh yeah.
You gonna reserve your seats?
Oh yeah.
Oh man. So I was in a movie theater the other day, and we went to go get our seats for La La Land, and people were in our seats. So then they got up, and then somebody was in their seat. So then those people had to get up, and then these other people got up. Like it was like a chain reaction.
So what's the point of reserving a seat if you're just not?
Yeah. Well, we got in a little late, so people just took them.
Oh. Okay.
But then yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, it's a good system if it works.
Yeah, I guess.
But the trailer, like, going back to Ghost in the Shell, there's some visuals in there that look pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so. So one of the reasons why the original is a classic is because, like, it was just, like, the way it was directed. I mean, it's an animated movie, but, like, the way some of the scenes were directed, it was just, like, mind-blowing, you know, even for its time. So I would at least hope. Like, the visuals were, you know, kind of on par.
So, speaking of visuals and a lot of CGI, I don't think this is my most anticipated movie of the year. But, listen, this is a theory that's going around. So, Tom Cruise, for a long time, was going to be in a Van Helsing movie. And that fell through. And now, he's in The Mummy, right? As, like, this adventurer. So there's a theory that if Mummy hits, Tom Cruise's character is going to be Van Helsing, who's going to be battling against, you know, we have this mummy, and then we have the Invisible Man, which is Johnny Depp. And then there's other big name actors lined up to play the Universal Monsters. So if this movie hits big, this could lead to a franchise of Tom Cruise battling Universal monsters. That's a you know, a rumor.
Wow. So he just kind of, okay, so his character might be Van Helsing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, like, yeah, and then he will go around battling. So there's some new Universal movie. Let's see.
Yeah, The Mummy's coming out.
Yeah, let me see. Universal's Monster Universe, what we know so far. I know Johnny Depp is the Invisible Man. Let's see. Who else is going in here? We got The Mummy coming out.
Are you doing Creature from the Black Lagoon? The Wolfman?
I mean, it's got to be. Let's see.
Dracula.
They're not doing Dracula. Yeah, Dracula, though, but they're ditching that one Dracula movie that just got made.
Wow. Okay.
But, yeah, so if this movie hits big, there's going to be, you know, Russell Crowe, Johnny Depp. I mean, just so more.
Tom Cruise travels the world fighting monsters. I want to see
fist
that.
Fighting. Yeah, fighting monsters. You know what I learned, though? Every time you put an ancient creature on an airplane, something terrible happens.
Yeah. I mean, airplane rides are tough enough.
Exactly. And don't travel with ancient beings. Like, look at Dracula.
Yeah, man.
Or The Lost World, Jurassic Park. Don't travel with dinosaurs.
It's like, I don't care how much money you're saving. Just check the bags. Don't try to carry them on.
I get, like, you know, I get treasure hunting, but I don't get, like, hey, I found this ancient mummy. Let's, surrounded by all this stuff. Let's take it.
Like, it'll fit in the overhead compartment, right? We'll just just make some room, you know?
Just, you know, put it on a motorboat. Yeah. Float it.
Sure.
Trail it behind your boat in a dinghy.
There you go.
I mean, it just seems like you're in a lot of trouble. Traveling with ancient evil creatures.
So, okay. So The Mummy is... It's not necessarily a remake of what the Brendan Fraser mummy movies are, right? Like, it's kind of...
It's a reboot.
It's a reboot, and it's more in line with, like, the original Universal kind of movie... horror movie monsters. Like, films that were made back in the day.
I don't think so, because as you see the trailers, it basically looks like The Mummy, the one that Brendan Fraser did.
Oh, okay.
It's like Dracula 2000 meets The Mummy.
Yeah.
Without Gerard Butler.
I'm actually really intrigued by this, because love him or hate him, Tom Cruise is a star, no matter what. So,
and putting Sophia Boutella is a female mummy. I like that.
Yeah. Having him star in, like, a potential future blockbuster franchise is always good news for the industry, I think.
Yeah, he doesn't make... His movies aren't bad, so he might have some good monster movies coming up.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I think I just kind of talked myself into wanting to watch The Mummy.
Do it.
All right.
I think London gets destroyed again, though. That's kind of boring.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm reading it there. All right, I think now's a good time to take a break. I'm going to go fire up the French Connection.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll see you guys in a little bit.
When I say pod, you say...
Pie.
Wait a minute.
Whoa, what's
Robert,
going on, Kyle?
Take your headphones off real quick.
Okay, sorry.
John, what the hell is this?
Oh, I don't know. Robert invited me over.
Yeah, I don't know. This is kind of awkward. Are we doing like a promo or something?
I don't know. I wish he'd put on his pants, though.
Yeah, he's like dancing around. He's talking about Shark Dropper.
I think he's looking for the baby oil.
Anyways, Robert, what are we doing? Huh? What are we doing?
What was that?
What are we doing?
I can put my headphones back on?
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing a promo for Shark Dropper.
Oh, okay.
That podcast we do that has improv, and we just talk about our daily lives and stuff.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I still wish you'd find your pants.
Where can I find it?
Oh, wait. Are we supposed to wear sharkdropper.com?
Short shot time.
Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. So I ended up not watching French Connection. What I did end up watching was Back to the Future Part 2.
Again?
Yeah.
That more than Back to the Future?
No, I think I like the original one better. But for some reason, I've seen Part 2 more than I've seen the original.
That's interesting.
It's weird, right?
So, like, you like one more, but you watch... You think one is better, but you've watched two more.
Yeah, because I think two was always playing on TV.
Oh, gotcha.
You know? It's just like, oh, I just missed the first one. Well, second one's already started. I might as well just watch this.
I feel like for years, I always caught, like, the ending 20 minutes of Back to the Future on TV.
Yeah, yeah. It was, yeah, for me, it was Back to the Future and Jumanji that was always on TV for some reason for me, you know?
You know what my favorite moment of Jumanji is? When David Alan Greer is on that car or door and that alligator or crocodile swims by and he's like, ah! No one freaks out like David Alan Greer. He had the best freakouts.
That was prime DAG, man.
Yeah, dude. DAG and Paul Walker were the best at freaking out.
Yeah, yeah. I need to watch Jumanji again. It's just, I feel like it's been a while.
I had a ton of upvotes and they're like, all these monsters and the only, like, all these monsters from another world, but the only villain is the human. Is that Hunter?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize that the Hunter also was the same actor who played Robin Williams' dad. Right?
All right. Yeah, wait, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I haven't watched that movie in years.
Well, I guess we'll there's a remake coming out. Or not a remake, but a sequel. I guess they're calling it a sequel.
It's a sequel.
Jumanji 2. It's another movie that's coming out 2017.
Yeah, and The Rock was like, don't call it a remake.
Yeah, it's a sequel, because I guess Robin Williams' character is going to be referenced somehow. You know.
Oh.
Yeah. Possibly as a tribute.
Go to Jumanji.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. All right, that's not Jumanji talk. Mark, I think you have another listener question for us to answer.
Yeah, and this one is, I told someone what our topic was going to be, and Megan asked, so what do you think would be the biggest flop of 2017? Like, what movie is gonna tank?
Well,
you know what? I got a prediction.
Okay.
Okay, so I know there's, you know, I want to see it a lot. It's directed by Guy Ritchie, but there's King Arthur. There's that Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets and Power Rangers. Like, I want to see Valerian a lot. It's by the dude who directed Fifth Element and Lucy. So I'm kind of excited for those, but they're $150, $200 million movies.
Oof.
That, yeah, aren't going to play too well. But I'm thinking that the newest Pirates movie is going to make a lot of money, but it's not going to do anywhere near what the other Pirates movies did.
So it's going to flop in relation to it's going to flop relative to the other Pirates movies. Like,
you know, okay. So think about this. I'm guessing the budget for the new Pirates movie is $250-300 million. So let's say, you know, all right. So Civil War cost $250 million. So let's say tax breaks, Pirates cost $250 million, right? So let's add in marketing. So that's $175 million. So then you're up to what, $425 million. Then you have what the theaters keep, you know, so you got to make a budget on that. That gets up to $600 million. So to make a profit, like, this movie already has like upwards of $600 million they have to do better than. And the fourth Pirates was so bad, and the kind of allure of Johnny Depp has faded. So I think in relation to what the movie actually needs to make, it won't do it.
Yeah. I think you made a good point. I think the series kind of passed the point of, or at least it's getting to the point of diminishing returns. It's like, well, you can only make so many good movies on this one kind of theme park ride. So
they had to do it soon because the first Pirates was so beloved. Like, they could have made a movie. The second Pirates film could have been Johnny Depp farting on a boat for 2 hours, and it would have made $400 million. People love Jack Sparrow.
Right.
That'd be an interesting movie, actually.
Yeah.
Just Johnny Depp on a boat. Like, what are there any movies you think aren't going to make it?
It feels kind of weird because I just talked about it, like, early in the podcast, but I think Ghost in the Shell. It's going to be a big flop.
Oh, yeah.
It,
yeah.
You know, it you know, I'm definitely a fan, but I think it's still very much like a Ghost in the Shell in general. It's just like a very niche, kind of niche thing. Like a lot of people don't really know about Ghost in the Shell. So it's just like, I mean, they know who Scarlett Johansson is. That'll be the big, big selling point. But yeah, it's the whole concept is a tough sell. Like, so she's like a cyborg and she's like the head of, or she's like part of the police department. It's just like, what's this movie really about? I'm just like, yeah, there's a lot of ambiguity surrounding the movie. Like, I still feel like a lot of people don't really know what it's all about. So, yeah, I mean, it's, and plus, like you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of really great looking CGI, and that stuff's not cheap. So, yeah,
I think they shot it in Japan. That's not cheap.
Yeah, I feel like it's gonna. It'll be lucky if it makes back its budget.
Now, this is going to sound really bad, but I'm hoping that Baywatch tanks and critics hate it, because then that'll help my jet ski action scene data. Because right now, movies with jet ski action scenes are at 29%, and they don't make their budgets back.
Is it rated R or PG-13?
Oh, it's R, and I think really? It's going to R. I think it's going to get like 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, right? And then it's going to make, you know, 60, 70 million on probably a $50 million budget.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more. So it's going to hurt my numbers. Like, it's going to help the jet ski cause, and I hate that.
I know. It's got like a pretty strong cast in terms of box office. You have The Rock, obviously, but you also have Zac Efron. It'll clear.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
It'll clear 100.
It'll, I don't know. Man, I don't know. It'll be, yeah. I'm going to keep an eye on that one. I don't know if that's going to be a flop or not.
Like, I just don't want it helping jet ski action scenes.
Sure.
Any movie. Like, if Citizen Kane had a jet ski action scene in it, I would hate it.
Yeah.
Because it wrecks my numbers.
It's like, dang. No.
Yeah, don't help this, because I got a good thing going on now with jet ski action scenes.
Yeah. I it kind of pains me to say this, because like I'm hoping like it's going to be a really good movie, but I think Valerian and like the new like Luc Besson movie, like I have a strong feeling that's going to bomb as well, you know?
It bums me out, because I think it looks awesome.
Yeah. It's just I think it's like a spiritual sequel to Fifth Element, right?
Like it's like if Jupiter Ascending was good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't know. I just I feel like it's gonna be this year's Jupiter Ascending, actually.
Yeah, and that stinks, because the trailer looks really fun.
Yeah, it looks good.
I watch all Luc Besson stuff, because it's just so bonkers.
Yeah, but I have a feeling it's gonna have a tough time at the box office, really. Yeah.
I mean, it's a hard sell when you have. I mean, 2017 is loaded with familiar properties, and so when people are like, "Hey, what movie should we go see?" You know, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets.
Let's see. I guess they do both take place in space, so.
Oh, I'm torn. Let's go to Spider-Man. All right.
Yeah.
Spidey.
Yeah, so I think that's the answer. Spider-Man. Just go watch Spider-Man instead.
Yeah. That one won't tank.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you for those wonderful listener questions. And time to get back to our 2017 preview extravaganza, Mark.
Yeah. Super Troopers 2.
Ayo. Yeah.
What do you think? Crowdfunded?
Crowdfunded.
Made 20 in one day.
I think it was the budget was actually higher than the original movie.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. And they made it like $6-7 million. They made a lot of money. Yeah. A lot more than they anticipated. But I'm kind of worried, because sequels that take place many years after the original, look at Zoolander 2, Joe Dirt 2, Boondock Saints 2, direct sequels. Like, so you make what? I'm not talking about the fourth in a series. When you make a movie and then 15 years go by and then there's a sequel to it, they rarely do well. And they're not like, I think because the first one was just so good, it felt so natural, that I'm a little worried about them kind of not being natural.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
That they're going to lose focus of what made the original so great. You know?
Yeah, and they're just going to be tried. They're going to try to be funny as opposed to
just being funny.
Yeah, you know what? Like the Chevy Chase effect.
Yeah. Because like, what made the original so great was that it was just like the characters, like they just kind of occupied like the space they were living in. You know, they weren't like being like outrageous in relation to who they are. Like that's just who they were. You know, I feel like a sequel, mm-hmm. there's like a big risk of them just kind of hamming up the characters, just because that's what the audience really likes. So they're just gonna try to ham it up. But it'll just like
character.
Yeah, but then you lose sight of what made the original so great. Like they were just, I mean, yeah, they were just kind of crazy, like crazy characters. But they just, but like it felt like it was still natural in a way, you know.
Remember so, when were you working in the movie theater when this came out?
I think I was actually no
2001.
No, I think I probably started working like a little bit after it came out. It was pretty close.
Yeah, because. Nobody watched this movie. Like this, we had this Enter the Fist, Out Cold, like 2001. You know, after you know 9/11 was just a ghost town for films.
Yeah,
and that movie had been, it was in our theater for like 2 weeks and gone. But I loved it. I was like, no one's watching. I was laughing. I would go in the theater all the time because we never had people there. Yeah. I loved every second of it. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just wanting to bring up the sequel because, you know, remind people it's still happening. So, yeah.
I mean, I'm going to watch it for sure. I'm excited. So it's going to be fun. And like the fact that they crowdfunded it gives me hope that they, you know, don't owe anybody any favors. Like, well, you guys should do this and this and the sequel. Cause that's what the audience expects. Like, I'm hoping the crowdfunding like kind of gives them leeway to just kind of do what they want. So,
mm-hmm. And it doesn't end up like that. Zach Braff, wish I was here.
Yeah,
that movie was Zach Braff. It was too much Zach Braff.
I didn't even bother.
Not good.
No.
What do you got?
This one shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, it's probably on your list too. But I'm going with John Wick Chapter 2.
Ooh, the yeah. Wick.
It comes out this year. It's I don't know if the trailer has come out for it yet. I mean, even if it did, I wouldn't want to watch it because I wouldn't want to.
Oh, it has. It. Yeah, it's out right now. Yeah.
It just I love the first movie. There was a great like I think it was like Reddit. Like someone made like a really good point. Like what made John Wick so great was that it. Felt like a sequel to a movie that never came out. You know, the characters. Yeah, no one ever took time. Like, wherever John Wick went, like, he was just like, it was like the characters. It was like he was already in that scene before in a previous movie, you know? It was just like the world building in that movie was just so good. It just felt very natural. And, you know, plus the violence and action scenes were very well done. So, John Wick Chapter 2, I just want more of what I saw in the first movie.
Yeah, I want more of the hotel. I want to know more about, you know, the coins that they use.
Yeah.
Apparently the plot is, so he's kind of back. And everyone's like, well, you're back. So then his former employers are like, okay, well, you work for us. Then he's like, oh, crap. Then he has to deal with all that.
Yeah.
I just hope there's not too much slow motion gun shooting.
I don't know, because the first John Wick, really surprised the hell out of me. So,
I wonder if John Leguizamo gets to slap more people.
He's like, "Don't you know who you stole from?"
No, I'm excited. I love Keanu, man. He puts the work in. Like he was doing all this gun range stuff, like nailing all of his shots.
Oh yeah.
Like, but this is another movie I hope doesn't become Super Troopered. Like, it just gets bigger. Like, you know, everyone loved Boondock Saints, and then Boondock Saints just lost everything. So I hope it can maintain that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of sequels, oh, go ahead. Do you have more about John Wick 2?
I'm done.
Speaking of sequels, Goon 2 is coming out.
Yes.
I love Goon. Listen, if you're listening to this podcast, watch Goon. Now.
You know, they're
like, watch it tomorrow.
I have some friends who are hockey fans. They've never seen Goon. Like, what? I've tried to convince them, like, dude, you gotta watch Goon. If you're a hockey fan, you gotta watch Goon. They're like, yeah, I'll get to it. I'm just like, they have no idea what they're missing.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And the sequel looks hilarious. And Kurt Russell's kid is in it, Wyatt Russell. He's actually played an athlete in a bunch of movies. He was a football player in 22 Jump Street. He's a baseball player and Everybody Wants Him. And now he's a hockey player in Goon 2.
Good genes.
Yeah. In Cold in July, he was a former baseball player too. But no, I mean, Goon, I love the first one. I think Goon 2, that's my most anticipated movie. Yeah, that and Dunkirk. Dunkirk and Goon 2.
Oh, I can't think of two more movies that could be like more polar opposites in terms of themes.
Yeah. Like, one's engaging in fights, and then the other one's a huge rescue mission.
Sure. Okay. My turn. Okay, so this is one of the big movies, but it's not like a Marvel, one of the Marvel Disney movies. It's Kong Skull Island. Yeah, it looks like a fun movie. It's made by the same team that made the Godzilla movie that came out a couple years ago. I think from what I've read, there's going to be this. They're just setting it up for like a big King Kong versus Godzilla movie. And honestly, that sounds awesome to me.
Yeah, let's do it. Like, I like the director, but the problem is the director of this movie had only done this tiny movie called The Kings of Summer beforehand. So it's a pretty big leap. But I love the cast. The first trailer I didn't really like that much, but then the second one added a lot more humor. Like, John C. Reilly's like, the Skull Crushers or something like that. And he's like, well, I've never said it out loud before. Like, there's some fun humor in it.
It's like, because, like, okay, the Godzilla movie that came out a couple years ago, that was like a super serious movie. And, like, there were some good parts. I mean, it was like, a little better than okay, I thought. Like, it wasn't, it was good, not great.
He took a nap.
Yeah. But, like, some, like, the action scenes, like, when they happened, like, they were great. So I'm thinking Kong Skull Island, or at least this is what I'm hoping. Like, it's just, like, pure action scenes. Like, it's just, like, them, like, trying to take down King Kong, like, on his turf. And I'm just like, that's really the movie I want to see, you know?
Like, I've watched the trailer a few times. It just makes me smile.
Yeah.
So many creatures.
Yeah.
It could be the sleeper. Like, it's a huge movie, but it could be like the sleeper blockbuster.
Did you just call a King Kong movie a sleeper blockbuster?
Yeah.
Okay. I was about to say, Godzilla was a sleeper blockbuster.
Yeah, like, but, Ayo. Yeah, wait. Ew. But, right? Like, couldn't it be? Like,
it could.
I think a lot of people are sort of rolling their eyes about it, but I think it could be one of the more fun movies of the summer.
There's nothing more fun to watch than a well-done monster movie, you know? It's just like to see people running away, and then you see the monster just wreaking havoc. And it's just like there's something really fun about just watching these types of movies when they're done right, you know?
Yeah.
So I
any spear a helicopter with a palm tree.
Yeah. I don't know. I just want a movie that just embraces, like, its monster and just goes for like total carnage. Like, that's all I want to see in a King Kong movie. Like, please, just let me see that.
And then a lot of movies that try to add in, like, you know, socio-political, you know, messages into it. Just give us carnage.
Yeah, seriously. Like, he's a monster and you're trying to take him down, but he's a monster, so he's gonna take out a bunch of property and people. So.
Yep. And they're on an island, so we don't have to worry about too many buildings being destroyed.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, so speaking of minimal property damage,
yeah,
there's a movie called The Wall. Have you heard about it?
Is that Matt Damon one? That's
The Great Wall. No, this is another wall.
Oh, okay.
This is the small wall. So it's directed by Dud Lyman, the guy who did Edge of Tomorrow, Swingers, Go, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and it's distributed by Amazon, who've been kind of on a roll with Manchester by the Sea. And it's about Aaron Taylor Johnson from Kick-Ass and John Cena, the wrestler, So they're in Iraq, and they get pinned down. It's the two of them pinned down. So Cena's been shot, and Aaron Taylor Johnson is behind this little brick wall, and there's a sniper who just pins them down. So it's about them just surviving this attack. And it's this tiny, you know, two people movie with a sniper voice, a Keith or Sutherland voice. Yeah. It's not a phone booth. But it just looks really good. And Doug Liman, that guy's no joke. And he makes good movies. And so here it is. It's just three people. Looks crazy tense. And it's just a sniper with a dude behind a wall.
Wow. I love the concept already. I'm like, wow. That's like the whole movie? Like, I definitely have to see it. I feel like that would be a great doubleheader to, like, the Great Wall. So you have, like, the wall and the Great Wall.
You have, like, the little wall and the Great Wall.
It's like, well, I was watching a wall. I just wish, like, the wall was bigger. Now I'm watching the Great Wall. I'm just like, wow, that's a really big wall.
That's a big difference in walls.
Yeah.
And then you should do Pink Floyd's The Wall.
Yeah, that's the soundtrack for the movie.
Or the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Then go to Wahlburgers.
Yeah. Okay.
I actually went to Wahlburgers.
Oh, did you? How was it?
I had a Wahlburgers.
How was it?
I had a Wahlburger.
Yeah. Was it any good?
It was okay. No, I mean, the name. I just want to go because it was Wahlburgers.
I mean, I would go.
Like, I mean, I enjoyed it. My Wahlburgers was nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, little wall, big wall. But I don't know. John Cena can act, too. He's funny.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, this is just a straight-up thriller.
I know he gets crapped on a lot, especially by WWE fans. But, like, you know, you ever watch him, like, do, like, his little spiel whenever, like, doing, like, his interviews or, like, when he's, like, talking to the audience in the ring? Like, the dude's got a lot of charisma, you know? I'm not, like, I mean, he's nowhere near The Rock levels of charisma, but you know, he's doing his own thing in WWE, you know. So
and then Trainwreck, it was funny.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to watch it. So
yeah, The Wall.
Yeah. Okay. So we're almost near the end of the podcast, but I think since there's like a whole bunch of movies left, do you want to do like a speed round?
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, I think these will probably just be like the big movies, but I think everybody already knew these movies are coming out, but. Let's just go on through them anyway. I'll start.
I like it.
Okay, Logan. It's a R-rated Hugh Jackman Wolverine movie. I think nothing else needs to be said, right?
Yep. Except for that Johnny Cash Nine Inch Nails hurt cover needs to be played on every track.
Yeah.
It's directed by Taylor Sheridan, who wrote Sicario and Hell or High Water. Mm-hmm. And it stars Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen, John Barenthal. Jeremy Renner is this hunter, cowboy kind of hunter, and he finds his body on a Native American land. And then Elizabeth Olsen's character comes in to try to investigate this murder. But it's like a, you know, slick-talking, well-written, gritty, kind of neo-Western with Jeremy Renner not being Hawkeye.
That actually makes me excited because, up until he, started doing Hawkeye, I felt like he was like one of my favorite kind of new actors. And then like, he did a Hawkeye and just kind of fell by the wayside a little bit. It seemed like, you know?
Yeah. Get him out of there. Get him in River.
Cause like Hurt Locker was amazing. You watch that movie. You're just like, oh, Renner is like amazing. But then you watch him as like Hawkeye and just like, oh yeah, I got possessed by Loki. So
this is my house in Cabo.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Excited for that one. Me. T2 Trainspotting. Judgment Day.
Oh, wait, I can't wait. Judgment Day? Yeah. Are they in court for drugs?
Yeah. To this day, I think I mentioned it in the podcast, but the original Trainspotting had like the grossest scene. I feel like in a non-horror movie, when Ewan McGregor's character just kind of falls in that toilet looking for the pill, and just like, oh,
so nasty. Don't even bring it up. That's a great film, though, and I want to see what they're like now, 20 years later.
Yeah, I want to see if, like, I can't remember what his name is. It was the dude with the mustache. He was like, he's really like the scumbag. Yeah. I want to see if, like, he's still, like, a scumbag, like, to this, like, 20 years later.
He was such a brilliant scumbag in that movie.
Oh, he was great. He was great. Yeah, I train love when spy
he throws
too.
The glass over. Oh, yeah. He's on the second floor and he throws that glass behind his shoulder.
He was always like picking fights with people in the bar.
Oh, dude. Bastard. Cool. All right. Cage Dive.
Cage Dive.
It's a shark found footage movie where these people, they're in Australia and they're on this shark, you know, they put you in a cage and you get to see great white sharks. But out of nowhere, this massive wave comes and wipes out the boat. And then it's just them in the water, found footage, being harassed by sharks. See, I my favorite movie is Jaws. I'll go watch Open Water. I'll watch The Reef. I'll watch anything with sharks. I'll watch Deep Blue Sea. I'll defend that till I die. But if you watch a trailer for this, Cage Dive, there's some really freaky shots. And I don't think there's anything much scarier than being in the water and not knowing what's underneath you. So as far as found footage shark movies go, this could be a fun little surprise horror film of 2017. So Cage Dive.
You know, I think The Shallows. There was like a little bit of a found.
Oh, The Shallows! I love that movie.
Yeah, there was like that one little. I think it was like the beginning thing where like the kid found like the little GoPro. So there was like a little found footage shark stuff in that movie, but yeah. It wasn't the whole movie, obviously.
Yeah. Did you see The Shallows?
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun.
It's fun, right?
Yeah. It's like the perfect summer movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was. It's like the perfect summer movie. And this one looks good. Like there are some shots of the sharks and you're like, I'm not a big staunch shark defender, but you know, if you're stuck in water, they're going to eat you. So, I mean, and you're bleeding. Yeah. I mean, it's dinner, but it looks good. So if you get a chance, watch the trailer for Cage Dive.
Okay. So for me, everyone knows all the Marvel movies coming out, so I'm not going to go through all of them, but I am going to pick the one that I am the most excited about, and I think you're going to be surprised by it, Mark. It's the Marvel or the MCU movie that I'm most excited about in 2017 is Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm more excited about it than Spider-Man or Guardians of the Galaxy 2, purely because of the director. Because I just saw Hunt for the Wilder People, and it was just like...
Oh, you just watched it?
Yeah, I saw it. It was good.
This last week? Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was good. And plus, you know, Thor's going to be joined by Hulk. And from what I read, like, it's going to be like a kind of like a... Like a this trippy galactic buddy movie directed
and
by...
Jeff Goldblum's in it?
Yeah, it's directed by the guy who did Hunt for the Wilder People. I'm just like, this is going to be the most intriguing MCU movie of 2017. And that's why I'm most excited for Thor Ragnarok over the other Marvel movies coming out this year.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know really anything about it. Taika Waititi's awesome. Like, I'm one of the little people. Just watch it with Ricky Baker.
Yeah,
but it just looks... I don't know where it's going. And I like that. I like that Marvel can still make a third Thor film. And I like the first one. I don't like the second one.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for this because I feel like it's going to be something different.
Yeah, not to rag on her, but Natalie Portman's not going to be in this one, so I think that's a good thing.
You're not going to rag on Ragnarok?
Yeah. But yeah, like, I love Natalie Portman, but like her character just kind of never really did anything in the Thor movies, so the fact that she's not going to be in it, I feel like is a plus. And plus, you know, I'm assuming Loki is going to be in it, and Loki is like the best Marvel villain to date. As far as the movies go, so yeah,
Kate Blanchett is the bad guy.
Oh, okay.
Carl Urban's in it. Like, it sounds amazing.
It honestly, I think it's the Marvel movie that has the most going for it right now. Like, I really want to see it. I think it could probably be the best Marvel movie, you know, this year. So I'm really excited for it.
All right, so I'm gonna do one real quick. It's Edgar Wright's Baby Driver. It's about this driver who starts working for some shady people, but his driving is timed perfectly to music.
Interesting.
So it's going to be this awesome Egg Fuzz, World's End, Shaun of the Dead, Scott Pilgrim-esque film involving awesome driving and music.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down for anything Edgar Wright. Just because. All right, so last one, which I will just go ahead and take the honor of. It's a little movie called Star Wars, right? Episode 8. They just recently announced the name, the official name, The Last Jedi. It's a very exciting sounding title, you know.
Does that mean Mark Hamill's gonna die?
You know, I've had like some people like on my Facebook is like, oh man, like that's such a final sounding name. I'm like, it's just a name. Like it doesn't really you don't need to put too much significance into it. Like, you know. It's not like someone in Force Awakens like literally just woke up like, ooh.
Some guy's laying there sleeping like, what? That's how they should have opened it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a very
the Force
cool.
Awakens? Yeah.
What was that?
Who's that?
I don't know. Like, okay, so Force Awakens was okay. Rogue One was amazing. So I'm hoping like they use the momentum from like these past two movies to kind of make Episode 8 like really, really awesome. And I was just like, you know, maybe Mark Hamill actually gets to say a line. So, Star Wars Episode 8. I'm looking forward to that in 2017. Who would have thought?
And like Rian Johnson, the guy who did Looper and Brick, directed it.
And I love those two movies, by the way.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be... I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to... I'm hoping that it just isn't as familiar as Force Awakens.
I think, because Force Awakens was kind of a new hope. Or like Redux, it felt like. But no, I'm interested to see where Force Awakens goes. Like it'll be fun. So
yeah,
and
sure.
That concludes our preview for 2017. Obviously we didn't mention every movie that's coming out in 2017. Otherwise that would have been
us listing things.
That'd be a 5-hour podcast of us listing things. Okay, well, before NFL we sign 2. Off, Mark, are there any plugs you want to make?
Yeah, Shark Dropper, Movies from the Flicks, The Lamb. Also head to iTunes. Make sure to rate and review our podcast if you haven't done it yet. Spend a couple minutes when you're bored. You know, type in Movies from the Flicks on your phone or your computer. Rate and review. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
Cool. Keep sending us those wonderful listener questions. They won't get answered, but they will... provide some sort of entertainment, I hope.
Yeah. So, but no answers.
No, never. Okay. For my co-host, Mark Hoffmeyer.
See you later. Oh, and John Levengood says hi, guys. He can't make it. He's currently eating his third lobster macaroni and cheese sandwich for breakfast.
It sounds like something he would eat.
He's moving to Florida, but he's just basically eating his way through Florida right now.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I've been your host, John Awesome. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Peace.
T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! Go! Go!
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.